It's good for us to be here in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, knowing that the Lord is good. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, and it is in Him that we live, we move, and we have our being. Welcome here tonight. We're so happy to have each of you here, and we know that something is going to be said tonight that's going to bless us from here to eternity. Amen. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Jesus is on the mainland.
Come on.
Yeah, Jesus is on the mainland. Tell Him what you want. Jesus is on the mainland. Tell Him what you want. You just call. Standing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Yeah. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations as we are yet standing. Pastor Elijah Mitchell, the St. Paul United Methodist Church, will come and lead us in prayer.
O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. O God, you have blessed us throughout this day.
Thank you, Lord.
And we say thank you.
Thank you.
We've been thank you for whatever we accomplished through this day. And we say thank you. Thank you for just bringing us out here tonight to this conference or to this, to hear Dr. Barber tonight. We say thank you. Lord God, we hope that something, if we know something going to be said that's going to uplift our spirits tonight to cause us to do what is right. We know what to do. Sometimes we need just a little bit of encouragement. But Lord, hear us tonight as we gather here in this space just to see one another, support one another, hear Dr. Barbara, and certainly praise your holy name. Because your name is so worthy to be praised. Oh God, you haven't stopped performing miracles in time gone by. Are you still able to perform miracles today? So we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And we're still anticipating great things to happen. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you so very much for your participation in that spirit field. Amen, devotional. We'll now have, amen, Sister Danielle will come and give us further instructions from here.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon,
Mississippi.
Good afternoon.
Amen. I thank God for you all being here today. I'm grateful to be here as well. And I'm sure that everyone in this room, you all are in this room today because you want to hear a word and you want to see a change in Mississippi. And Mississippi deserves to be better. We deserve better. And so as we await our national leader, he's getting ready to come through the doors. But we know that there have been cliches going around saying Mississippi will rise again or make America great again. And that word again means, in other words, it's saying that it already was. And so in my history books, it tells me that Mississippi has never been up. So, and it also tells me that America's never been great. So we're going to say that Mississippi will rise for once in history. And America will be great for once in history. We thank the NAACP. We thank the Biloxi Ecumenical Clergy Leadership
Council
for inviting us in. That's a long, you got to know some diction for vocabulary to get all that out. But anyway, but we're just so grateful for you all being here. It's a blessing. We're fighting. We're going to continue this fight. We're the Poor People's Campaign is in 42 states. In the United States, with Mississippi being one. I'm Danielle Holmes. I'm a Mississippian born and raised. I live in Mississippi, and I'm a national organizer with the Poor People's Campaign. So I thank you all again, and now we will have the litany by Brother, and I don't have my paper in front of me. Brother Grisham, I'm sorry. Come forward.
Martin Luther King said, "There comes a time when silence is betrayal. The truth must be told."
And the truth is that more than 250,000 people die from poverty and the lack of education each year in the United States. Thousands die each year because of the lack of health care, including the denial of Medicaid expansion. Half of the United States is poor or low income, that millions of children are homeless, lack adequate food and housing, don't have quality education, There comes a time when silence is betrayal. Truth must be told.
The truth is that voting rights are being eroded 50 years after the passage of the Voting Rights Act, that systemic racism plagues America as extremists drum up bigotry and hatred, that in many communities it is more likely that teenagers will end up in prison than graduate from high school.
There comes a time when silence is betrayal. Truth must be told.
Today, we stand as truth tellers, witnessing to the pain and suffering caused by the injustices within our community and across this country. We gather to declare that we need a moral revival, a radical revolution of values, and we call on the prophets of old from the sacred texts of the world religions who proclaimed.
This is what the Lord says: do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of the oppressor the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow. Do not shed innocent blood in this place. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 3.
Doomed to you who legislate evil, who make laws that make victims, laws that make misery for the poor, that rob my destitute people of dignity, exploiting defenseless widows, taking advantage of homeless children. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 2.
All the workers you've exploited and cheated cry out for judgment. The groans of the workers you used and abused are a roar. James 5, 4.
Arjuna, whenever righteousness is on the decline and righteousness is in the ascendant, then I am reincarnated. For the protection of the virtuous, for the extirpation of the evildoers, and for the establishing Dharma, righteousness, on a firm footing, I am born from age to age. The Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verses 7 through 8.
The believers, both men and women, are in charge of and responsible for one another. They all enjoin the doing of what is right and forbid the doing of what is wrong. Quran 9:71.
If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Isaiah 58.
As with these sacred texts, we too proclaim revival across this land as we sound the alarm and join hand in hand.
We join voice with voice until all are heard, and arm in arm until all are seen. Alleluia,
thine the glory.
Alleluia, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen, amen. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
It's good to be in Mississippi. In Mississippi. And I'm so thankful, Reverend Dr. William J. Barber II, the co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign, and our co-chair, Dr. Liz Theo Harris. We're just literally getting off the road. I see all my friends here. I'm just literally coming in from North Carolina and from New Orleans. And tonight is a voter rally. So I want to do a couple of things. I want to ask you all to stand for a second as we come together. And I want to ask this sister to get on this organ. I heard there was an organist here, and I heard that somebody down here knows how to play it. Is that right? Am I in Mississippi or I'm up north? I'm in Mississippi? Okay, all right. And I heard that Brother Crowell was one of the best singers around. Oh, that's not happening in Mississippi, is it? Okay, we won't start that, will we? I see. But what I want the media in particular, I want you all to see how we are here. We are here black, we are here white, we are here young, we're here old, we're here in all Latino, and that's what's happening. The South
is changing for the better. Amen. Put your hands together. And so I just wanted to ask this. Can you come on the organ? Would you mind coming on the organ? I want to hear that hammering. That hammering over there. And just before we go any further, right where you are, I want you to turn around and shake one another's hands and say, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. Fine. Right where you are, say, we're going to do this. Say, we're going to turn this boat out. Yes, we are. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. I want folk to see. We're going to do this.
We're going to do this in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And I want to ask, I want to do something else. That's right. I hear that hammering that's coming on in. Now, I want to ask, are there some other clergy in the audience? Some other clergy. I say, come on up here. I want there's some other clergy. We're going to make this diverse. Do we have any rabbis in here? Is there rabbis in here? Because that's the change. It's about humanity. Do we have any imams that are here? Come on up here and sit. Find some chairs. I got some trustees around here. Amen. We want them to see the new South rising, right? The new South rising. They're not going to divide us up. And if you and then I want to do one more thing while she's playing. If you see anybody that you don't know, I'm gonna give you 2 minutes to go see somebody you don't know and say, come sit with me. Let's mix this thing up. Let's mix it up. Let's mix it up. So we're gonna mix Mississippi up. We're gonna mix the South up. Find somebody you would normally sit with. Not your color, not your kind. We're gonna beat this racism down. Yes, sir. Y'all don't do it. Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, all right. Well, I tell you what, let me go down on the front then. Can I sit down there with her?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I tell all the preachers sit on the front row. We all sit on the front row.
Okay. Pastor said he wanted all preachers to sit on the front row. So will y'all make room for all the preachers? All the preachers, come on, sit on the front row. Come on, all the preachers sit on the front row. That way, the camera looking right at you. All the ministers sit on the front row. They're going to make room for you. They're going to make room for you. No, he wants all the preachers. Pastor just said, who's the pastor? That pastor right there, right? That pastor right there. I'm doing what the pastor said now. Yeah, I'm doing what the pastor said. Amen. He wants all pastors, all preachers on the front 2 rows, on the front 3 rows across. And we wanted to look diverse tonight. Because let me tell y'all something. If we can't change, Mississippi's not going to change. If we're not going to be welcoming to everybody, then we can't criticize the folk that aren't welcoming to everybody. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Either we got to love everybody or we can't say a word about those that don't love everybody. If we can't be black and white and male and female and all of that in the Lord's house, then how can we expect it to happen in the rest of the places? Amen? Amen? And so I want to ask, I'm not going to speak just yet. I want to ask that this, we got 2 people, a Hispanic sister, where they at? There are 2 people here, excuse me. And they want to just talk about Melinda Medina, and you may be seated, and Brianna Landis. And they want to say to the world why it is so important that we vote right now and every time. But they want to say it from their perspective as people who are impacted by the policies that politicians pass. So would both of you all come and stand together? I want to, right over here to my left at this, Melinda and Brianna, would you all come to this mic here? And deliberately, we do the Poor People's Campaign, nobody ever stands at a mic by themselves. And we always stand in our diversity. Because see, the God I serve, He loves everybody. Amen. The God that I serve. Now, I don't know which one you serve, but the God I serve loves everybody. Amen. And so they're going to come, and each one of them going to take a couple of minutes, and they're going to share. And then there's a sister here by the name of Latasha Brown. Is she here now? Black woman. Is she in here yet? She's on her way, and she can sing. Right, and we want to hear, don't we, Pastor? She can sing, amen. And she can sing them old movement songs, amen. Because it's going to take everybody, amen. In this democracy, we on everybody, so she's going to come. Would you all come at this time? Give them a hand as Melinda and Brianna are coming, and you all say exactly what's on your heart about why we have to be engaged in this moment.
Good evening, everybody. First, honor to God, Pastor Collins, Reverend Barber, friends and guests. I'd like to take this moment to also thank the organizers of the rally for inviting me to speak today. As some of you know, my name is Melinda Medina, and I stand before you tonight as a proud brown-skinned Latinx woman who knows the intersectionality of being poor and a minority in America. See, I, like many of you, not only grew up poor, but I did not even realize that I was poor. I thought poor was normal. It wasn't until I was older that I realized that the struggles our family faced had anything to do with racism, classism, or oppression. I did not realize the color of my skin or the accent with which I spoke would lead me to be treated differently in a country referred to the world over as a melting pot. I was never taught or told about voting, and for a long time, I didn't understand the concept of it. But not today. See, the life journey of the woman standing before you today wasn't easy. Experience taught me the importance of claiming and using our power in We the People. Now that I have, I am a mother of four, an activist, and an instrument of change, and I stand before you today as a voice, not in the wilderness, but as a voice in a chorus called We the People. Now that I have shared about me with you, let's address where I am. 11 years ago, I moved to the state of Mississippi. 2 years ago, I met someone whose views of bridging communities together in order to progress fell in line with my own. A beautiful friendship has blossomed from there, and I could not thank my bestie, T. Nathan Fairley, for his consistent love and support. I knew, yes, thank you. I knew Mississippi had a dark past, but nothing sums this place up like my bestie, who calls Mississippi the heart of darkness. He has constantly told others in me that Mississippi has always been Mississippi to him and people that look like him. You see, he's a black man in Mississippi. And at first, I did not understand what he meant when he would tell this to me. I did not understand because I did not know that black and brown in Mississippi shared the same struggle. I have learned many things from the bond I have with my bestie, but to witness his words become truth in his daily life has been the most eye-opening for me. You see, we have a problem in this state. It can't seem to escape its dark, insidious past. Why? Maybe the people of Mississippi don't believe they deserve better, or just don't care to want to do better. I can't understand how a governor was elected into office knowing his family ties to the murderers of Emmett Till. He is also the governor who appointed a woman to the U.S. Senate to represent the residents of this state. A woman who made a public comment that she should sit in the front row of a public hanging. That comment in a state with the highest number of lynchings, 581 that were recorded from the end of the Civil War to 1968. Not just that, but she made a comment stating that she was in agreement to suppress the vote. Remember the poll tax and the barriers created to suppress the black vote? All this in a state where 38% of its population are black people. I am not going to stand here and tell you who or what to vote for. As a matter of fact, some of you do not care about politics as usual, so let's talk about our moral obligation and what to vote against. We must vote against those who would seek to joke about a history of savagery visited upon the people of color in the state by those wearing hoods and sheets. We must vote against those who seek to silence our collective voices when we speak truth to power. I no longer care about their comfort or their privilege. Change is coming. Yay. The runoff on November 27th, and there's a runoff on November 27th, Mississippi has the chance to make some real change, okay? I'm going to tell you all like someone told me. We cannot allow such behavior to go unchecked. She can sit on any row she wants to, but we will not be electing her to represent Mississippi in the United States Senate. And Mr. Fairley is right. We cannot allow this to go on any longer. We must show up and show out at the polls November 27th. Get out and vote.
Hi, my name is Brenna Landis, and I'm a native Biloxian. Thanks to everyone for putting this event together tonight and for inviting me to speak. Thanks to the Poor People's Campaign of Mississippi for organizing this rally right here in my hometown of Biloxi. In this time of intensely emotional politics and division, I'm here to speak on why it is so important for people who look like me to vote. I am a single mother, a white woman, and a progressive. I come from a traditional conservative, that's my extended family, my dad is actually here tonight, Biloxi family. And while I had a lovely childhood, I was raised fairly ignorant of my own privilege and the way that systemic racism affected my own classmates. I attended Garnflow Elementary just up the road from here and grew up on Hayes Street just off Division Street. Even when taking a Mississippi history class was part of my curriculum in eighth grade at Biloxi Junior High, I do not remember learning about the Biloxi wait-ins, which happened right here in my hometown in the 1960s. I know that many people I'm friends with or I'm related to do not bring up politics or race because it makes them feel uncomfortable. I'm here today because I feel that we've reached a tipping point in our society, and I think it is beyond time that the people who continue to walk this path of chosen ignorance wake up. It's past time to have those uncomfortable conversations and speak up at the Thanksgiving table. Do it out of love. Vote out of love towards your fellow Mississippians. The recent comments by one of our elected officials for the state of Mississippi were not made out of love and speak to the willingness of white women especially to joke about and therefore ignore the deep emotional and physical trauma of racism in Mississippi, which still continues to this day. When you are a white woman in Mississippi, you are privy to some of the most racist inside conversations. It's past time we speak up in these situations and then make our collective voice heard by voting. One of my great-great-great-grandfathers was a general in the Confederate Army. I think it is important to acknowledge our history, but also to unequivocally and unapologetically refuse to accept the racist narrative of the grand old South. Mississippi is full of ingenuity and artistic spirit across the state. Let's move forward together along those lines and create together and lend a hand to each other. Not just a hand of sympathy, but a hand of empathy. It's not enough to volunteer at the soup kitchen and then go vote for the very system that continues to oppress. We must vote for a system that respects the dignity of all Mississippians, African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans, Asians, women, and the LGBTQ community members included. We should want to make this state great together, not continue to have a power system that oppresses many facets of our society. In order to do this, white women especially have a responsibility to teach other white women about the history that is all around them, which they may know nothing about or choose to ignore. This responsibility is why we must vote for politicians who are willing to push for racial reconciliation, for health care, including affordable child care services and pre-kindergarten education. As a mother, I want to make sure my daughter doesn't grow up ignorant to the history surrounding her in the Deep South. Part of that history and education is to fully fund public schools so that children can receive a quality education while being surrounded by other children from different socioeconomic backgrounds and cultures. Too often, we have de facto segregation in the South, and I refuse to participate in it any longer. But we cannot just simply wait for the old bigots to die out. We must vote them out. White women in Mississippi would do best to stop voting against their own self-interest and their family's self-interest. We need white women to get out and vote for decency, for quality public education, for health care, for a living wage, and yes, for a woman's right to choose what to do with her own body. Vote out of love. Refuse to bow down to a patriarchal and racist system. Question everything about what you were taught as a white woman in the South if you are from a conservative family like mine. Realize that in order to move forward as a society, we must respect every single individual in that society. Then wake up and go vote.
Say go vote.
Now before they leave, stand up and get over here. That's the kind of unity It's not just black folk. It's got to be all of us. Now, I want to show something. I want this sister, I want the two of you all to come right here in the middle, because I want the message to go out that there's an army rising. Come right here, black and white and brown and of all people of races, colors, and sexualities. There's an army rising in the South that's going to break every chain. Now, I want to do something symbolically. I want an elderly black woman that can remember when this would be illegal in Mississippi for us to be in here like this together. An elderly black woman that would can remember when they would be trying to burn this place down and shut it down. I want her to come stand between these two sisters. Give her a hand as she comes. It's got two coming. Two of them. Now I want y'all to reach your hands out and each put your hand on top of each other like they do in football. You know, they put it out front. I want the media to get a picture. Stick your hand out, one on top of the other, or either just hold hand like that in the middle. In the middle. There we go. There we go. Now somebody say, "Ain't no going back now. We've come this far by faith." Can y'all help me sing a little bit? Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn. Ain't gonna let nobody
turn me around.
I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up the freedom way. Can we stand? Ain't gonna let nobody
turn
you
around.
That's right.
Turn
ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm gonna keep on
walking.
Say it.
Keep on talking.
Say it. Ain't gonna let no racism. Ain't gonna let no racism. Freedom. One more time, everybody. Ain't gonna. Say it, sisters. Say it, brothers. Say it, sisters. Ain't gonna let. Turn. I'm gonna keep on walking, keep on talking, marching up the freedom way. So much. That's the picture. You may be seated. We're so thankful tonight. I want to get right at it tonight because I want those of you, pastor and others, that may want to go in and see the debate and those kinds of things to do that. But this is a rally tonight, and I want to speak for a moment. We're good, thank you. I want to speak for a moment or so, and then I'm going to stop and do some organizing because I want to talk about what we must do all over this country and why Mississippi really right now is the focal point of the whole world.
All right.
Not just the nation, but the world,
all right.
Like it was, has been in the past. And I want to simply talk about tonight, if we ever needed to vote.
All right.
We sure do need to vote now. We used to say if we ever needed the Lord, we sure, well, we know we need the Lord. But the Lord needs us to use our gifts, not just pray about what the Lord's going to do, but to use our gifts.
All right.
So touch your neighbor and say, if we ever needed to vote,
we
sure do need to vote now. And one of the reasons my son William is just finished law school. He's traveling with me now. He just finished law school at UNC. Come here, son, and get this. And he knows a lot about what's happening in this world. Thank you. The first reason that we need to vote, if we ever needed to vote, is because of the problems that the politicians we've been electing haven't been addressing.
All right. It's not
just about partisan. I'm not even going to talk about Democrat and Republican or conservative versus liberal, because I don't use those terms. I'm conservative and I'm liberal, depending on whether I'm eating hot sauce or ketchup.
You know, I'm a theologically evangelical, conservative, liberal, charismatic, Pentecostal biblicist. In other words, I'm a Christian. That's right. So you're not going to put me in no little box, right? And I'm not, and these states are no longer red states. Most of the southern states are not red states. They are unorganized, unvoting, voter suppression states. And that's what's changing. So we have to change our language. We have to have kind of, Pastor, a political Pentecost. We got to speak in another tongue. And we've got to hear with another ear. So the first reason you ought to vote is because of the problems that exist that politicians aren't addressing. We sing a song, Somebody's Hurting My Brother and My Sister, and it's gone on far too long. Do you know right now in America there are 140 million poor and low-wealth people? Not 39 million, but 140 million poor and low-wealth people, black, white, brown, young, old, gay, straight, 140 million poor and low-wealth people. 43% of this country are poor and low-wealth. 43%. And the wealthiest nation in the world. In the world. There are 37 million people in this country without health care. And we're the only country of the 25 wealthiest countries that does not offer some form of universal health care. There are 4 million families that wake up every morning and they can go down the street and buy unleaded gas, but they can't buy unleaded water. Right now, today, nearly 60 cents, or 53 cents of every discretionary dollar goes toward military and the war economy, while we spend less than 15% of every dollar toward public education and health care, Sister Cromwell, and the things that will lift people up. Well, that's where we are. And it's not being addressed. And then on top of that, we have this religious nationalism. They call it Christian nationalism. Some of my folk call it Christian right. I don't call it any of those things. It's a form of theological malpractice. And this is what they actually say. They say, listen, if you are against abortion and for prayer in the school, and against gay people, and for guns, and for tax cuts, that's all God really cares about. Now, the problem with that is, I know the book. See, I come from a tradition where before I could eat a biscuit, I had to quote a scripture. So, you don't tell me about the book. I know the book. If I don't know anything else, I know the book. And every now and then I know how to make the book talk. Have mercy, Jesus. And I know that there are 2,000 scriptures in this Bible, 2,000 scriptures in the Bible that have to do with how we treat the poor, love, and justice. The majority of what God is concerned about is how you take care of the least of these. Didn't he say, when I was hungry? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I was sick, did you care about me? When I was an undocumented stranger, did you welcome me? Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Woe unto those who legislate evil and rob the poor of their right and make women and children their prey. That's the book, Amos 5. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Come on, you want to talk the book? Let's talk the book. Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, for he hath anointed me to preach good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind and healing to the brokenhearted and the liberty to them that are bruised and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. Matthew 23:23, you have tithed and you've done it with all your tea leaves and everything, but you've left undone the weightier matters of justice and love and faithfulness and kindness. That's the book. That's what God is concerned about. And yet we have this religious nationalism that will actually go and will pray, P-R-A, for politicians and ask God to bless their efforts while in their efforts they are praying, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, on the very people. We got a problem in America. We got a problem in the South. We have a problem in Mississippi.
All right.
And that's why you ought to vote, because of the problems. It's not about whether or not, I want to say, it's not even about whether or not you like Mike Epsi personally, or you just disagree with Cindy Hyde. It's deeper than that. It's about policy. See, and I'm not going to talk party tonight. I'm going to talk policy. 52% of all the people in Mississippi are poor and low wealth. Not 42%, 52%. 1.5 million people in this state are poor and low wealth. That's why wherever I go around and I talk to these states, I say to my clergy friend, I said, you know, it's a shame and a disgrace for a preacher to ask people to tithe but won't fight for them to have a living wage. Talking about I'm trying to get you to heaven. Heaven gonna be all right. I need some home down here. I need some money down here. I need some food down here. Listen, 59% of all the children in Mississippi are poor. That's 437,000 people. 53% of women are poor. That's 816,000 people. 67% of all the people of color are poor. That's 843,000 people. 40% of all white people are poor in Mississippi. That's 668,000. Poverty hurts every color, every race in this state. Why must you vote? The income of the top 1% in Mississippi grew by 80% since 1979 to 2012. But while the income for the bottom 99% only increased by 11%. Why must you vote? Because if you're poor and you're black, or you're white and you're poor, or you're Latino, brown and you're poor, or you're Asian and you're poor, or you're Native American and you're poor, and you so poor that you can't pay your light bill, we all black in the dark. If your child is hungry because you can't feed them, that black child doesn't cry black. That white child doesn't cry white. That brown child doesn't cry brown. They cry pain. Huh? And there's been years and years of pitting black and white people against each other in the South, when the truth of the matter is poor black folk and working class black folk and poor white folk and working class white folk and poor Latino folk and working class Latino folk better understand we all in the same boat. And so the question is about this Senate race. It's a look, if you agree that what's going to help people in Mississippi is to give more tax cuts to the wealthy and forget the poor, then vote for the candidate that's going to do that. But if you believe that we need living wages and we need social safety nets for the poor, regardless of their race, their color, their creed, then vote for the candidate that's talking about that. That's not about partisanism, that's about principle. In 2013, Mississippi requires this photo ID to voting. 16% of black adults, 127,000 people have been disenfranchised in this state from felony voting restrictions. Mississippi is a voter suppression state. There are 26 voter suppression states since 2010 in this country, and every voter suppression state is a poor state, because the very people that get elected through voter suppression, through racialized voter suppression, listen to this media, once they get elected, they then vote policies that hurt mostly white people. See, I'm going to tell some truth here tonight. They get elected by suppressing black folks' vote. Once they get elected, then they pass policies that hurt mostly white people, because when you add it all up, there are more white people who are poor and without health insurance in terms of raw numbers. Now, in terms of percentage of the race, it's black and brown, but in terms of raw numbers. And you know, that's an eerie irony that you would use race to get elected and then hurt your own folk. Think about that. Voter suppression is a form of racialized, and 26 states have engaged in voter suppression. We don't really know in the South who really has won some of these elections, because there's been so much voter suppression. We haven't had fair elections. And until we can win all of those in court, what we have to do is overwhelm them at the ballot box. And so you got to ask yourself, you got two candidates running for Senate. Which one believes in voter suppression? If you believe in voter suppression, vote for him. But if you don't believe in voter suppression, then don't vote for him. In this state, did you know that the average defense contractor makes $19 billion a year for war, even when we're not really in war, except, you know, in Afghanistan, a war we shouldn't be in, but the average combat soldier makes less than $30,000. Right here in Mississippi, you got 61,000 veterans that have incomes below $35,000. That's 31% of Mississippi's veteran population. So you got a choice to make. Are you going, you got to ask a candidate, where do you stand on giving more money to veterans and helping them once they fought the war? If you are for somebody that's going to simply give more money for the defense contractors, then vote for that person. But if you recognize that a country, as Dr. King said, that puts more and more money in war machinery and does not invest in the uplift of its people is headed towards spiritual death, then vote for the candidate that's not going to do that. In this state, there are 351,000 people, reverends, that are uninsured. And for every 500,000 people that are uninsured, 2,800 die. There's a group of ministers, I hope some of y'all will join with us. We've decided that if anybody in our church dies because of the lack of health insurance, we're going to ask the family, can we call the media in like Emmett Till's mama did? And we're going to keep the casket open the whole service. Because we're not going to lie and say God called people home when actually government policies killed them. God might welcome them home. But I'm not going to lie anymore and say when somebody dies from the lack of health insurance, that's not God. That's the man's inhumanity to other human beings. It doesn't have to be like that. And you could have had over 200,000 people covered if you had expanded Medicaid with the Affordable Care Act. You still would have had another 151,000, but 200,000 people would have been covered. But they claim they didn't want to vote for Obamacare. You know why they called it Obamacare? To racialize it, right? And a large number of that 200,000 would have been veterans, would have been people who were separated from service, would have been white, would have been black. Oh, and by the way, the people that are asking you to vote for them, the candidates that want to go to the House of Representatives and wanting to go now to the Senate, you do know they get free health care. Right. Paid for by you. Right. The best health care. Right. Top of the line health care. Yeah. Bad, good health care. Yeah. I started to say bad in the black vernacular, but, you know, we're in mixed company, so I said good health care. Huh? Now, isn't it strange that you would be a politician that, number one, when you swear yourself into office, you're going to get you a great big Bible. You're not even going to get a little Bible. You're going to get a great big old family Bible. And put your hand on it and then raise your hand and swear to uphold the Constitution. Well, don't you know if Jesus did anything, he gave people free health care and never charged a leper a copay? But then secondly, you're going to get it, you get elected, and when you get elected, you're going to take free health care, but then you don't want the people back in your state to have the same thing that you have. You got a choice, Mississippi. I'm not talking about a Democratic choice or a Republican choice. You have a moral choice. Which candidate wants to block health care? If you don't believe people ought to have health care, then vote for that person. But if you believe in the richest nation in the world, we ought to be able to provide everybody health care, then you vote for the candidate that says, I'm going to fight for health care. It's simple. It doesn't have to be partisan. Use your principles. Use your moral discernment. In fact, right now, there's a group up in the Congress. They call themselves Republican. I don't. I call them extremists. But anyway, they're talking about ending pre-existence coverage. In other words, what they're trying to say is, if you have a pre-existing condition, they want to go back to when an insurance company can deny you. Right? Now, I got a newsflash for you. Everybody in here has a pre-existing condition. I told you I know the book. You've been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Everybody got something wrong with them. But let me tell you how ugly this is. Do you know that if they do away with the coverage in spite of a pre-existing, that if you have arthritis, the insurance company can deny you? Now, I said this one time, Reverend, in a church, and somebody cursed, and we forgave them because they got that hot, because they didn't realize, you know, they did like Jesus. You know, Jesus, when that fig tree wasn't producing no figs, and Jesus did a little toiling around and came back, and then the fig tree still wasn't, and Jesus said, damn, what's wrong with you? I mean, he did, it's in the Bible. Now, you, Reverend, y'all know that's in the Bible. He damned that tree. And there's some people like Martin Luther King said, we have to damn the policies that destroy men's souls. Now, diabetes is a pre-existing condition. Okay, let me tell you something about acne. Do you know they want to make it so that if you have acne, an insurance company can deny you insurance for cancer? Acid reflux. Now most of us are going to get in trouble because a lot of us in this room, including me, sin about once a week. You go right by Bojangles. You do. You sin. And you know Bojangles will give you acid reflux. It's good, but they want to take that away. If you had a C-section, they want to say that's a pre-existing condition. You can't get coverage no more. If you have ever been abused by a man, they want to say that's a pre-existing condition. If you've ever had knee surgery, if you've ever had serious headaches, you're going to have to ask yourself, Mississippi, what kind of candidate do we want? Is it the person that wants to say that insurance companies do not have to cover you if you have a pre-existing condition? And if you agree with that, vote for them. But if you believe that insurance companies should not be able to write people off and let people die simply because they have pre-existing conditions. And especially since when you win an office like Senate, do you know they give you health insurance regardless of your pre-existing condition? The moment you get to Washington, D.C., you get the best health care. You could be on your deathbed, but if you win the election, how ugly would it be for you to go to get D.C. and get something that you don't even want the people back in your own state to have? Ask yourself the serious question. There's a couple of other questions. In Mississippi, there are 1,500 people that are homeless. And in Mississippi, you have to work 82 hours. You can cut that air down a little bit if you want to. 82 hours at $7.25 an hour, and you might be able to afford a two-bedroom apartment somewhere. But you got to work 2 weeks in a week. 588,000 people in this state make less than $15 an hour. That's 53% of all the people in this state make less than $15 an hour. 500,000 people use food stamps, and you have people that want to cut food stamps right now. The question before you tonight is, if a candidate is running that says, we don't need a living wage, all we need to do, we don't need to raise the minimum wage, all we need to do is just give more tax cuts to the wealthy. If you believe that, then vote for them. But if you believe that people deserve to make a living wage when they work, if you believe that people ought to be able to take care of their children when they work, if you believe that we ought to feed poor children and poor people, some of them working poor people who still need the supplement of food stamps, then listen to the candidate that says, I care about people, versus the candidate that says, I just care about corporations. If you believe in public education, if a candidate says they want to cut more money from public education and they want to give more money to private schools, and you believe in that, then vote for them. But if you believe in public education, believe in every child having an access to a high-quality, well-funded public education, then vote for them. You don't have to vote partisan as much as you have to vote principle. Moral principle. And so we need the second reason that we have to vote is not just because of the problems that exist, but we need a check on this presidency. We need to send somebody that's not going to just be a yes person to everything this particular president who lost the popular vote and only got selected by the Electoral College says do. When you have a president in the 21st century saying, I am a nationalist, and know that nationalism and white supremacy and fascism are all connected, and the French president has enough sense to say that the American president is wrong, we need statesmen and statesmen that will stand up and put a check on this president. Touch your neighbors, that if we ever need to vote, we sure do need to vote now. And then the third reason you need to vote is because voting is a theological provision. Well, now you don't just need to vote because you need to vote because of the problems people are not addressing. You need to vote because we need a check on the presidency. And you need to vote because voting is a theological provision. What do I mean by that? We only give the right to vote to people. We don't give the right to vote to pets, parakeets, and puppets. The Constitution says you have to be 18 years of age, born or naturalized in these United States. That's what you have to be in order to vote. If that's true, then that means anytime somebody tries to suppress your vote, whether you're black, white, or otherwise, they are suggesting that you're not human. You hear me now? It's a form of political idolatry. They are saying that you are a subspecies of humanity, that you are not equal to my humanity. And that's wrong, because we've all been made in the image of God, the imago Dei of God. Every one of us. And so you don't let anybody take your right to vote, because to take it or to suppress it is to suggest God didn't make you equal. It's just like going down to your grandmama's grave, watching somebody go down to your grandmama's grave and pick up, open up the casket and take the bones out and just strew them all over the place. It is a form of desecration for you to suppress the right to vote. Somebody ought to be say, I'm going to vote just because I'm human. I'm going to vote just because God made me. I'm going to show up. In fact, you might want this coming on the 27th. You might want to dress up like you're going to church. Everybody ought to dress up. Say, I'm coming for business. I'm coming because I'm God's child. I'm coming because I'm somebody. I'm coming because I've been made in the image of God. Here I come. How dare you try to suggest that I'm not a child of the living God by suppressing the right to vote. And then lastly, not only should we vote because of the things politicians aren't addressing, not only should we vote because we need a check on this president, not only should we vote because voting is a theological provision, we ought to vote because of the unused power. The unused power in Mississippi. In 2016, there were 2.2 million people in Mississippi eligible to vote. Only 1.4 million are registered. That's unused power. That means 800,000 people in this state unregistered to vote. Of the 1.2 million people that were 1.2 million that are registered, 55% turned out. That means 45% didn't. In Mississippi, in 2014, there were 2.2 million voters registered to vote. Of those, in 2014, in the United States Senate race, 600,000 of the 2.2 million people voted. So 1.6 million people didn't vote. Some of these states aren't red states. They are unorganized, unvoting states. In 2014, only 29% of the eligible voters voted. Of those, 378,000 voted for Thad Cochran. 200,000 voted for Travis Childers. 13,000 voted for a third-party candidate. The voter margin, Cochran won by 125,000 votes, but 1.6 million people didn't even vote. Now, of that 2.2 million people that are eligible to vote, 1.3 million of them are white, but 800,000 of them are black, and 32,000 are Hispanic, and 15,000 are Asian, and 8,000 are Native Americans. If only 29% of black folk voted, and it probably was lower than that, but it was about 20 in 2014, then that means about 600,000 black people didn't vote, and Cochran only won by 125,000 votes. I heard you. We forgive you for cussing. I knew you were. I heard you. It's all right. I want you a little bit angry. I don't want you mad, but I want you angry. We have to vote because of the unused power. You have to stop believing what any of these TV stations say when they say Mississippi is a red state. No, Mississippi is your state, and it's time that you stand up and vote in your state and get everybody that you know to vote in your state. We don't even know what would happen if just 60% of all of us would go to the poll. Touch your neighbor, but I want to find out. And that's why I need you to leave here tonight and go call everybody you know and tell them if we ever needed to vote, we sure do need to vote now. Because the fifth reason we need to vote is our place in history. Our place in history. Right now, tonight, we are here 399 years since the first ship landed in Virginia to bring slaves. Tonight is 248 years since Crispus Attucks, a black man, was the first American to die fighting for this country. We are here tonight 231 years since the Constitution was adopted, and 231 years since black people were considered three-fifths of a person, and white men without land couldn't vote, and women could not vote. Here we are, and we are at this time 155 years since the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation, 155 years since the Civil War. Here we are tonight. It's 64 years since Brown versus Board of Education, and 63 years since Emmett Till was murdered, and 58 years since the sit-ins in Greensboro were organized, and 54 years since Fannie Lou Hamer said there comes a time when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Y'all hear what I'm saying? As we sit in here tonight, we are 55 years since the murder of Mega Evers, and 55 years since the March on Washington, and 55 years since they blew up four girls in a Birmingham church, and 54 years since the signing of the Civil Rights Act, and 54 years since Swanna, Cheney, and Goodman were killed right here in Philadelphia, Mississippi, and 53 years since Bloody Sunday, and 53 years since the Voting Rights Act, and 53 years since Malcolm X was killed, and 50 years since the assassination of Dr. King, and 10 years since Barack Obama was called everything but a child of God, but they still had to call him Mr. President. And when you understand where we are in history, there's no way we can have all that history behind us and we not make history today and make history before. Talk to me, somebody. The Jewish community tells me that in Hebrew, the word for vote and the word for voice are the same word. The word in Hebrew for voice is koil, and the word for vote in Hebrew is koil. And in Job, the voice of God that sounds like thunder is called koil. I stop by to tell you that we don't need 97 million people not voting in America, and we don't need 1.2 million people not voting in Mississippi. We can't have that anymore. It's time for us to raise our voice and to raise our vote and to sound like thunder. On November 27th, we need thunder against racism. We need thunder for health care. We need thunder for living wages. We need thunder for immigrant justice. We need thunder to put some control on Trump. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. It's time for Mississippi to thunder. It's time for our voices and our votes to sound like thunder. Until all around the world a sound comes out of Mississippi. I come by to tell you that our parents did more with less. And we've got to do more with more. With less they beat slavery. With less they beat Jim Crow. With less they beat lynching. With less they beat the KKK. With less women won the right to vote. With less labor won the right to organize. With less Harriet Tubman got 500 slaves out of slavery. She didn't have nothing but a made up mind. She didn't have Facebook. She didn't have tweeting. She didn't have Instagram. She didn't have a car. All she had was faith in God. A 38 pistol on her side just in case you wanted to go back. She had a North Star on the middle of the night and North on the moss on the north side of the tree. And she said, I could have got more out if they had recognized they were slaves. I'm telling you, they did more with less. We must do more with more. So right now, you ought to say, I'm going to call everybody I know. I'm going to text everybody I know. I'm going to MySpace everybody I know. I'm going to Instagram everybody I know. I'm going to FaceTime everybody I know. Every preacher, you better use your pulpit and tell people to go to vote or just quit preaching. That's what you need to do. Rabbi, you better tell it. Imam, you better tell it. You better tell everybody to show up, because I need you to know something. There's something God will not do for you. Do you have a witness here? There's some things you got to do for yourself. Because Moses was down at the Red Sea. He had Pharaoh behind him. He had the mountains on each side of him. He had the Red Sea in front of him. And the people started complaining and saying, why didn't you leave us back there? And Moses decided to pray, but it wasn't praying time. And God said to Moses, why do you praying to me? Why are you crying to me? He said, you say stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. No, I don't need you to stand still. That's not what I told you to do. Moses, what's in your hand? The God from Zion, what's in your hand? He said, take what's in your hand and stretch it out. Because faith is what you believe about God. Works is what you do with what you believe about God. And when you put faith and works together, that's power. Do I have a witness? Power. And I'm here to tell you, when you put faith and works together, won't God show up? Won't God bless your efforts? He always has and he always will. When he stuck that rod out, God showed up. And the wind stood at attention. And the walls of the ocean stood at attention. When Shadrach, Meshach, and that bad Negro put their faith to work, God showed up and cooled down the fiery furnace. When David threw his rock, God showed up and Goliath came down. And the next day the paper said, the bigger they come, the harder they fall. When Daniel had faith, God showed up and made a pillar out of lions in a lion's den. When Esther walked in and said, if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king, God showed up. When a woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, God showed up. When Thurgood Marshall went to the Supreme Court, God showed up. When Rosa Parks sat down on the bus, God showed up. When Fannie Lou Hamer did her marching, God showed up. And when Jesus went to the cross and died on Friday, God showed up. They thought it was over, but just wait a few days, because early Sunday morning, God showed up. And I'm a witness that God will show up. Do I have a witness here? If we do what we're supposed to do, God will show up. If we thunder like we're supposed to thunder, God will show up. If we vote like we're supposed to vote, God will show up. Is there anybody in here gonna do what you're supposed to do? We got thousands of people watching by line. We need you to do what you're supposed to do. We need everybody here to go tell somebody. We need you to grab somebody. We need you to get somebody. Until a voice like thunder comes out of Mississippi. Until we stretch out what's in our hand, our ballot. And when we do, I'm going to come back, because I know God will have showed up right here in Mississippi. Somebody give God a praise, because he will show up. He will show up and show out. He will show up and show out. Yeah! 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 Oh, hallelujah. Now, we got work to do. We got work to do. So I want you to stay here for a moment while Danielle and others come. And they're going to do some organizing. Things we need to do. Derek Johnson, my good friend, says, everybody get 10. Huh? Start with 10, get 20. You got enough folk in here to start a rumor.
I know that's my rumor.
Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all know goodness well, if I went over there right now and kissed Miss Cromwell straight in her mouth, and Brother Cromwell jumped up and beat me down with that blue suit on, it'd be in the New York Times the next morning. Y'all know it would. Huh? So just like you would tell that, tell this. You hear what I'm saying? Just like you would tell that, then tell this. And let this movement be the movement that begins to show. Georgia's showing it, Florida's showing it, North Carolina's showing it, and let Mississippi show that the South ain't going back. Change is coming. Change is already here. Some of y'all been waiting on it a long time. The Southern strategy ain't gonna work no more. Oh, it's on life support, y'all. It's on life support. And we might as well go on and kill it. Hallelujah. And give it a nice funeral. Ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Go back to Jim Crow and leave us. That's what we need to do. But it's time. And it's going to take all of us. Black folk, white folk, brown folk. And let me just say this in closing. I want to teach this. Do you know the same people that don't want health care are the same people that stand against voting rights? And the same people that stand against voting rights want to cut public education. Same people that cut public education don't like gay people. Same people don't like gay people don't want to take care of the environment. The same people don't want to take care of the environment don't want you to have a living wage. The same people that don't want you to have a living wage don't want immigrants to come in the country. If they are cynical enough to be together, we better be smart enough to come together. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Huh? When I vote, I don't vote for Jesus. I already got a king. And when I hook up with people to vote, I don't vote for folk that agree with me on everything. But I hook up with people that agree with me on justice and love and equality and caring for everybody. And that must begin with us. Because 55 years ago, 55 years ago, this would be an illegal meeting.
Come on.
55 years ago, the Klan would have already come up in here, or they'd be outside.
Come on.
55 years ago.
Just 55
years ago. Doc, you'd be a target. White man with a collar,
that's right,
around black folk.
That's right.
Preacher, they be wanting to do something more than break your shoulder. 55 years ago, a Latino woman and a white woman at a podium together in a black church on, well, it wouldn't have been no Martin Luther King Boulevard. If God has allowed us to live to see 55 years later, God in heaven, we ought not waste it. We ought not waste it. We ought to finish what our ancestors began.
So we have our singer, Ms. Latasha Brown, with Black Voters Matter, so I'll let her introduce herself. And she's been one of our very big sponsors here with the Mississippi Poor People's Campaign, and we're forever grateful. We have other coalitions here as well that have supported the Mississippi Poor People's Campaign, Mississippi Rising Coalition. We're about to do organizing now.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
That's right. So we have so many. T. Nathan, we thank you for the groundwork of passing out flyers and canvassing and me calling and blowing up Reverend. I keep calling him Reverend. I told him God called him to preach. But but Mr. Crowell, State President, Mississippi State Conference President, NAACP President, Reverend James. He's sitting over there. Mr. Frederick, that's NAACP president of Gulfport. So many organizations, Walk the Vote, called, text me today. They wanted to be a part. This was my first time talking to the young lady, but I reached out to you all's director on Sunday because I really liked the information you all were passing out. But we have pledge cards here that we want you all to sign to join the movement and commit to voting and being a part of the process. And so before I go any further, let me just bring on Ms. Brown.
Organize, organize, organize. Y'all know something about that? How y'all doing today? Aren't y'all fired up? I don't know how you feel, but I am fired up. Are you fired up? Are you fired up? So I'm going to sing a song that I want y'all to join me on because I know some of y'all know this, right? And I want you to listen to the words too. And if you know the song, just come on, sing it with me, all right? Well, the first thing I did right was the day I started to fight. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on, hold on. Well, the last thing I did wrong, I stayed in the wilderness a day too long. Keep your eyes and hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Keep your eyes on the prize and hold on, hold on. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. We shall not be moved. Say it like you mean it. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. We shall not be moved. Amen. Just in that spirit, as I was, and I'm sorry I had to work on, we working, we organizing, we in the midst of trying to do a program and do all kind of stuff, right? But just as I was coming over here, and even I was sitting down, I was praying, I was like, okay, what should I say? And what was coming to my spirit was Gideon, right? And then oftentimes we think we need a whole bunch of folk, right? God actually cut his troops down and said, you got 300. I need you to work this 300 right here that defeated thousands. So part of it, as what we've heard earlier, part of it, y'all, we right here on the Gulf Coast, but part, what I want to share is just quickly as we go into this last song, that what I want to share is that it only takes a committed few of us that can make a difference. It really don't take everybody. It's just a committed few of us. And I don't know about y'all, I actually believe that energy, that when we're giving our energy and faith and love and multiply, any of y'all and got somebody, my aunt gave me $20 when I needed, and she blessed it, and I swear I couldn't get rid of that $20. Every time I spend it, it looked like it just show back up again. There's something about when we're doing blessed work. So I just want to say to you all that we've got to understand that this is not just about Mississippi, right? This is literally about, it says in the scripture, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Well, Mississippi done been 50th. And a whole lot of categories. So I think that it might be time for us to really flip this thing, right? And I don't know if you all know this, but black women in Mississippi have the highest turnout rate than any constituency group in the country. I need y'all to hear that and know who you are. In addition to that, there was one state that right after slavery and Reconstruction, they actually, there were some folks who had been slaves that had the audacity to believe that they could put somebody in the U.S. Senate. Where y'all think that was?
Mississippi. So if we can actually put a senator in a position after slavery, right? Don't y'all know we can do that in 2018? Don't y'all know we can do that in 2018? So I share with you all that one of the things, this is organizing, because I'm an organizer, right? And so we're going to sing the song, but we try and get some work done. All right? So between now and Friday, there are 28 organizations that are working together across the state. Danielle was okay. Well, okay, 28 organizations that have been working across the state. If there are grassroots groups that are doing civic engagement work, want to be a part of it and need some support or something, let me know, right? But those groups we're calling ourselves the Mississippi Matters Coalition. And we're just a coalition of grassroots groups coming together saying that we are more powerful when we work together and we align our strategies, right? And we've really been focusing a lot on the Delta region, as well as in Hines County and Delta region, and down here, we've been working down in the Gulf Coast as well. And so what we decided to do as a collective, as this, the next 5 days, from Friday through Tuesday. Now, we know folks going to be full because they had their turkey and their dressing on Thursday, right? But we got to get to work. We got to get to work, right? And so we're doing what is called Mississippi Rising Weekend. And so this weekend, we've got folks who are coming in from different places. I need y'all to hear Mississippi rising. Like, just listen to how that sounds. Rise up, Mississippi. Mississippi rising. Rise up, Mississippi. Rise up, mighty people. Rise up. And so we're doing Mississippi Rising from Friday through Tuesday in Jackson and other places. If our partners here that sponsor, we're actually doing a mass canvas where we're going to coordinate canvas. Folks do their own, their communities. We just know where folks are all across the state. If there are groups that need support around that, let us know. I'm telling you right now to let us know. Right. We're also doing work where we think this is a real important election for black farmers. And so one of the things, it really is, when we look at even from SNAP benefits and even what has happened, it was black farmers that fed this state, right, and took care of families and actually financed the movement. If you listen, if you know the history, you know it was black farmers that actually were the ones that financed the movement right here, right? And so in that spirit, we're actually partnering, working with black farmers. And then so this, our goal is in the weekend, we'll be able to provide some vegetables and produce to our community. Right? In a process of that, it's not just about us being extractive, but we actually believe that we can build something together and we can deposit on good seed and good ground. So if you are interested in being a part of Danielle, I don't want to put you on the spot, but help us coordinate that. And we have some other people here as well. If you all are interested, let me know. But we want to really blow out Mississippi Rising this weekend. And it's beyond, we know you want to vote. But everybody at this meeting, I feel pretty confident that y'all going to vote. Now, what I need is, I need everybody in those seats to turn your one vote into 50 votes. And you can. You got enough family members. Y'all got some folks coming to your house to eat. Check them when they get to the door. I know you want some of this good turkey and dressing. But you going to vote, right? Because part of the problem is people don't know that the election is going on, right? So the issue is people don't know. So we need y'all to burn up the hotline to let people know that the election is going on, right? From your church to your groups to your family members to everything. So with that being said, I want everybody to, I do want to sing. I don't want to sing that song. I'm going to teach y'all a song. Can I teach y'all a song? All right, so I'm going to teach y'all a song because I'm in a church. So this group right here, the name of this song is We Are the Ones, We Are the Ones, We've Been Waiting. And so what I want is this side right here, I just want y'all to repeat after me. We are the ones, we are the ones, we've been waiting. We are the ones,
we are the ones, we've been waiting. We are the ones, we are the ones.
We are the ones, we've been waiting. We are the ones, we are the ones, we've been waiting.
All right, got it. Okay, now this section right here. This is my melody section right here. All right. So y'all gonna sing.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
We are the ones we've been waiting for.
short, it's gonna be sweet, but we're gonna say it from our spirit and our heart.
Yes.
I need you to listen to the words, y'all. Ain't nobody saving us.
Yeah.
We saving us.
That's right.
We're going to use every tool that God has given us
yes.
to step into our power, to step into our anointing, to step into this moment, y'all. And you got to believe it. You got to believe it, not just with the music, not just even with the songs. Let me say, at the end of the day, this government don't give us power.
Right.
God is giving us power.
Yeah.
Right? Us voting is just a demonstration that we actually believe what we've been invited with. That's all.
All right now.
Right? So in that space, what I want us to do, we're going to sing it. And then we're going to close it out.
Okay.
But I want y'all to say it like y'all mean. Doesn't necessarily have to be loud, but you can be loud. I'm from Alabama, so I'm loud. And my folks from Summit, Mississippi. Anybody know what Summit, Mississippi is? So I want us to do it. I'm going to start these sides again. And I want y'all to say it in your spirit. Put all your spirit behind it to say it. So we lift up. We lift up the vibration in this room and in this whole state. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
We are the ones,
we are the ones, we've been waiting. We are the ones, we are the ones, we've been waiting.
Jesus died.
Yes, yes.
That he was buried. And early on the third day morning, he rose from the dead.
Yes.
And you'll be ready when he comes. Lord, we thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. For this meeting. Thank you for those who are here.
Yes.
We pray now, God, that as we leave this place to get us safely to our destinations.
Yes.
And that you will allow us to find it all as well with,
yes.
with us and with our families. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good night.